The following sermon is a presentation of Christ Fellowship Church in Aurora, Illinois. Today's speaker is Dr. Bill Thrasher.
We're told to seek righteousness. You know, probably the most familiar verse is the Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek righteousness. That's not the first time Jesus said it, but that's the scriptures continually say that. The prophet Zephaniah gave that same phrase in Zephaniah 2:3, seek righteousness. You know the familiar words of Paul's his exhortation to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:22, flee righteousness, but pursue, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness. Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness. The Lord says he loves righteousness and loves those who pursue righteousness. So God is encouraging us to pursue righteousness because he says there are countless benefits. And I want to mention four aspects of this pursuing righteousness and some of the fruits of that. And the first one is this theme of confidence. Confidence. You say pursuing righteousness gives you confidence. Everything I look, you say, I look at our world and it's so unrighteous and it seems like it's such a headwind coming in your way if you try to pursue righteousness. And it is hard. But as Proverbs 28:1 says, it says, the righteous is bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no one is pursuing them. Just actually, it was a couple of days ago, a dear colleague mentioned his godly son. He said, you know, he had gone through all of his schooling, even went and got a master's in of business, MBA, a good student, fine boy, and just nothing was working out. No job was opening up. And the family saw a need in a particular couple that the wife needed some help in regard to some medical things, so they invited him into their home and gave him some help there for a while. And in the process, the particular man, he had a real expertise in regard to computer technology, and so he says, you know, I'll give you even a further skill. I know you already got a master's, but let me just teach you some things in regard to this computer technology. And so he studied with him for about almost 6 months there every day in his home for about 6-8 hours a day. And he had that, so he says, you can put that on your resume. But he says, you know, look, you've done this, but what you need to put your best foot forward, look, I can work all this out. We can just massage your resume a little bit, and we can make this 6 months look like it was 3 years. And I can take everything, I can do the contacts, the dates, don't worry about a thing. And now the son had been looking for a job. And you know, boy, it momentarily says, is this a provision of God? But he just came shaking one day after praying to his parents and says, look, I can't do this. And so by the grace of God, he did not do that. And that was quite some time ago. That was a couple of years ago. And now the father was able to say how God did give him a job with a clear conscience and how he has wonderfully provided and taken care of him. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing them, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Righteous are bold as a lion. We will constantly be encouraged to violate our conscience. I know that's a tricky thing, but the confidence, if you are zealous for what is right, who is there to harm you, Peter says. I love that verse, 1 Peter 3:13 and 14. If you're zealous for what is right, who is there to harm you? Now, he does say in the next verse, if you do suffer, you're blessed. He recognizes that there will be suffering, but if you're zealous for what is right, who is there to harm you? If you do suffer, you're blessed. You know, will there be enemies that come against you in regard to pursuit of righteousness? Absolutely, there will be. But you can always trust God. He is going to, as we've talked before, he is going to ultimately win. And a verse I encourage you to stare at and to commend your righteous causes to is Psalm 9, verses 3 and 4. It says, when my enemies turn back, Psalm 9, 3 and 4. They stumbled and perished before you. For thou hast maintained my just cause. Thou dost sit upon the throne judging righteously. God will maintain your just cause, even though there can be so much. And in all fairness, I would say to a young person growing up, it is harder for you. Those that are older, believe it or not, can remember in our young years where we had a little cultural wind at our back. And, you know, there was a sense that certain things were ingrained in our culture that you didn't have to argue over. You know, you didn't have to go to the legislature like you did this week and argue over what really is marriage, you know. That was assumed. And the other thing was, you know, not really even publicly debated. But now that day is no longer here. That day is no longer, but our God is the same. And our God is the same, and He will uphold His righteous cause. And His righteous cause will win. In fact, an unbeliever in the early days of the church, when it was experiencing great, great pressure, that unbeliever verbalized, saying, look, if this movement is not of God, it'll die out. We remember a lot of things like that. But if it is of God, you're not going to be able to kill it. Because what? You'd be found fighting against God. Acts 5:39. So you see, if you can commit causes to God, not self-righteous causes, but causes to God that are His name, His glory, He'll own those. He will own those. And you can be confident that ultimately you'll win. So a confidence. And, you know, the Lord wants you to leave with that today as you let Him examine your heart. Lord, is there anything destroying that confidence? And we're not talking about a self-confidence. We're talking about a confidence in our wonderful Lord. And say, Lord, I want to live under that unclouded heaven. I desire that. I desire that today. You desire that. And the second thing, He says, if you pursue that righteousness, seek that righteousness, as I've told you, and I love that, and I love those who pursue it. He says, that is the pathway to joy, to genuine joy. Perhaps as we've said before, this theme of joy is a very slippery concept in Scripture to really grab your hold around joy. Now, the verse that was read there by Landon, Hebrews 1:9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God has anointed you with the oil of joy, or the oil of gladness above all your companions. In other words, Jesus was said to be the most joyous person who ever lived, because he lived in harmony with his Father. Oh yeah, I know, called the man of sorrows, but the most joyful person who ever lived. See, the key to joy is righteousness, living in harmony with God. When you and God are in harmony, no matter what else may be happening, you can be joyful. That is why people have been martyred with not frowns on their faces, but joy, but joy. Now, I want you to see just how this theme, because whatever comes, if you talk to a man on the street, not acquainted with Scriptures, they may not associate righteousness with joy. But let me just walk you through some Psalms where you see this again and again and again. Psalm 32 and verse 11. Psalm 32 verse 11. Now here is where David has come out of his sin and repented. And he says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you who are bright in heart. Psalm 32:11. Psalm 33:1. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Psalm 64:10. He says, the righteous man will be glad in the Lord and take refuge in Him. Psalm 97:12, where he says, be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to His name. And then finally, Psalm 145:7. Psalm 145:7. And it's not that we couldn't produce more, but they shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and shout joyfully of your righteousness. So righteousness and joy are just what? They're just traveling companions. Now, you say, well, is this really always true? Is the righteous person? Well, remember Jesus in that sort of climactic of the Beatitudes, he'd say, even when you have to suffer for the sake of righteousness, Matthew 5:10-12, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice and be glad. So, yes, God wants you to be joyful. Now, you know, as we prepare to partake of the Lord's table, remember what we read in the word of David's experience. David had to come in repentance and say, restore to me the joy of my salvation. He had covered sin in his life, and joy was not there. You say, you know, Lord, is there... sometimes when the load gets heavy, you know, there was a time last week, you know, that my mother-in-law said to my wife, she says, boy, you need to be joyful now. I mean, the load is heavy, bluntly. And so, see, sometimes when the load is heavy, you may think of that sinful attitude. The sinful attitude is just somehow disobeying God and carrying the cares of the world upon your shoulders. There are sometimes I've said, okay, I'm just trying to live responsibly and I'm carrying the cares upon my shoulders, and that's really an unrighteous attitude. Because I'm living as if it's just totally up to me to work it out. It's totally up to me to figure it out. And that's not. So you let the Spirit of God lead you into freedom, saying, Lord, is there anything hindering my joy, anything between me and me? God, I want to leave today with fullness of joy. You know, if you have the context when you gather together, it's not, you know, I remember as a young person, I feel like, okay, I did my duty, now I have a license to enjoy the rest of the day. But that's not worshiping God, is it? But if you feel like, okay, I want to come here to meet God. And so, Lord, I'm coming here to meet you, and especially the awesome privilege of partaking of the Lord's table. Saying, Lord, is there any adjustment I need in my life? I want to leave with that fullness of joy. Now, joy can be experienced in a lot of different emotions. When circumstances are going on in your life, even like Peter says, even though you are distressed by various trials, you can rejoice. So there may be times that certain situations I understand, and all kind of things can affect your feelings. But God, you say, God, I want that fullness of joy. The world starves for that. The world starves for that. And we've said this before, but the world's starving for that. What, they don't have it because they don't have righteousness. If you don't have Christ, you don't have righteousness. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't have righteousness. And you don't have joy. And so basically what the world has said is, and it says, look, we will pay anything. It doesn't matter how you up the price, we'll keep paying it to be entertained because our life is so empty and so starving for the joy that God created us for, and we don't have it. And so we'll what? We'll go after something. There's a vacuum in our life. And so God says, I want to give you something. I want to give you something better. I want to give you the joy. And that joy, you know, is the fruit of righteousness. One of my favorite descriptions of a minister is what you read in the last verse of 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1:24, where Paul calls himself a worker with you for your joy. To help people find joy in the Lord. To help people make any adjustment they need to make in your life that you can have joy. That you can have joy. Well, God wants you to have that. He wants me to have that. And He wants you to have that today. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. So as you partake of the Lord, may that be the goal of all of us. Saying, Lord, I want to leave here. Whatever else is happening today. Whatever else may be happening, you have ahead of me. Lord, I want to know that fullness of joy. Well, the third thing in regard to this pursuing righteousness, it involves a life of faith. It involves a life of faith. a life of faith. See, it's and what a wonderful illustration we have with the table. See, it's by faith that you receive the gift of righteousness. That he says in Romans 5:17, it's by faith that we're justified, we're declared righteousness. Therefore, having been justified by faith, Romans 5:1. And he calls it the gift of righteousness, Romans 5:17. So it's by faith that you grab a hold of that gift. I didn't understand that growing up. Maybe I mentioned this to you before, but I remember being in a fourth grade Sunday school class, and the teacher said, if you could just have one wish, maybe I've told you this, one wish, and it could be anything, what would it be? Well, you know, I tell you, in the depth of my heart, the first thing that came to mind, I said, my wish would be eternal life. Now, as the conversation went around the room, it went in totally different directions. And so I didn't have the courage to say what my wish was. But then the teacher said his wish was eternal life, but we left it at that, a wish. No sense that you could rest in that. No sense that you could have that assurance. Now, God just hadn't opened anybody's eyes there. In that wonderful people in that denominational church I grew up in, but we didn't understand the gospel. I partook of the Lord's table. I didn't know what I was doing. But it can be given, received by faith. That gift of righteousness. Do you know beyond the shadow of doubt that you have that gift of righteousness? That it is yours. You personally have to receive that gift of righteousness. It doesn't matter how wonderful your family is, or it doesn't even matter how impeccable a person you are. Only Jesus, what? Came and lived the perfect life. Died for your disobedience. And that perfect record of Jesus can be imputed to your account, and he can give you that gift of righteousness. Well, not only is by faith you receive that gift of righteousness, now God says, now that you've received that gift of righteousness, I want you to live righteously in your experience. How do you live righteously in your experience? You say, some days I wake up and boy, I'm not even sure I want to get up, much less live righteously. And God says, you know, that's why you do it by faith. You do it by faith. As he'll say in, you see, Jesus' shed blood that we celebrate today, it is what? He condemned sin in the flesh, as he says in Romans 8:3. And he says it in much more detail in Romans 6. But he says what? You will battle sin. Every person, every Christian you ever meet, you know, there's a battle going on inside of them. There's a battle going on inside of them. There's a battle going on around them. But God says, okay, I've shed my blood that you can be a winner in that battle. Oh, I shed my blood to forgive you for all your sins, and I want you to walk around clean. But also, I've shed my blood that you can be a winner in that battle. Sin no longer has to control you. Now you can resist sin in the power of the Spirit. Don't keep on letting sin reign in your mortal body. You should obey its lust. But present yourself to God and your members as instruments of righteousness. And he says, now the righteous requirements of the law can be fulfilled in us who do not walk by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Romans 8:4. See, by faith, you can live a righteous life. You say, boy, this is a hard relationship. And man, I just seem like this person just has the gift of bringing the worst out in me. They know how to push my button. And maybe other people say we're on their list, that we know how to push theirs. But you know, you say, okay, Lord, you know, I need a resource beyond myself. Lord, I can't. So I'm asking you, would you produce in me discerning love in this situation that you would honor your name? God will always honor that request. Say, Lord, I believe you for the grace to honor you in this situation. Lord, whatever there may be, is there any task, any burden, would you commit that to the Lord? And would you trust him and say, Lord, I'm asking you to produce a righteous attitude in this situation. I know how I have to, I finally got my income tax in or whatever. That's always, I'll get all worked up. I praise God that's over or whatever. But at least I hope it is. But anyhow, whatever task you may have, whatever, commit it to the Lord. Trust in him and watch him work. It's by faith. Now, by faith you live a righteous life. You say, what happens when I live unrighteously? How do you do? Well, it's by faith that you what? You grab a hold of his cleansing. By faith you grab a hold of his cleansing. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is there anything that maybe an attitude, an action, a word you said that maybe you need to be cleansed from today to take to the table in a worthy manner? Jesus' arms are open. The righteous man falls seven times but rises again. Proverbs 24:16. So it's by faith that you can live a righteous life. By faith you can live a righteous life. You know, it's, and even every blessing of God flows through us through the cross. And you know, maybe you need, God even wants to strengthen your faith today. I love that phrase that Abraham was strengthened to believe. Now maybe you need strength to believe God in regard to a situation. Strength to believe God in regard to a responsibility. Whatever it may be, God wants to give you that grace to give you strength to believe Him. Strength to believe Him. I need that strength to believe Him. We live by faith, and also the last is live by hope. You know, okay, you say, okay, we've received this gift of righteousness. But you also see this little phrase in Paul's writings where he talks about we're waiting for the hope of righteousness. Galatians 5:5. The hope of righteousness. Now, we have been given the gift of righteousness, but hope speaks of faith oriented toward the ultimate future. And it's a certain thing. Okay, but this hope of righteousness, you see, one day now we're being conformed to the image of Christ. Now there's this battle going on in us that we can be a winner in as we trust Jesus. But you know, one day that battle's going to be over. One day all sin is going to be judged and confined. And we are going to be experientially righteous in every way. One day we'll be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. We will not live in an unredeemed body. We will not live in an unredeemed world. You see, now we rightfully, what God asks us to do, He says us to pray for all authority. Pray for all governing authority. That they could what? They would have wisdom to reign with righteousness. But one day, and that's what I want us to see in the prophetic word, that just to me is sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. One day, I'm just going to take you through some verses here in Isaiah. One day, there will be a righteous government. Now, that's not to take... Now, we have responsibility in our present day, and I thank God for those that sought to be a righteous influence even this past week in regard to our state that certainly needs the miraculous work of God. But one day, we will have it. Isaiah 9:7, talking about our wonderful Lord saying, there will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, righteousness is going to win. One day there will be a righteous ruler. Turn over to Isaiah 11:4. But with righteousness He will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of His mouth, and with the breath of His lips He will slay the wicked. Isaiah 32:16-17. He says, the justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will abide in the fertile field. And the work of righteousness will be peace, and the service of righteousness quietness and confidence forever. Isaiah 54:14. In righteous ways you will be established. In righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression. You will not fear. And from terror it will not come near you. Well, one day, and I could go on to other parts of prophetic word, even the new heavens and new earth is described as a place where righteousness dwells. 2 Peter 3:13. Well, the Lord loves righteousness. The Lord loves those who pursue righteousness. He commands you to pursue righteousness and to seek it. Why? Because He wants you and me to have what? A life of confidence. A life of confidence. Now, you can be confident today not because you've never sinned, but you can be confident because what? You're walking in the light before God. Walking in the light. Are you walking openly and honestly and transparently before the Lord? May even be struggling in the light, and that's okay. Open, honest, I'm seeking to cover no sin in my life. He who covers his sin shall not prosper. That's what David did, and he said he had to ask God to restore him the joy of his salvation. God wants you to have that confidence. He wants you to have that joy. And as we said before, Lord, I want to leave here today with that fullness of joy. Would you show me anything that's hindering that joy? Anything that's hindering that joy? Maybe even let me know any burden that I'm carrying that's not of you, that I can cast that upon you. Any adjustment you want to make in my life, Lord, I'm open to hear from you. God will speak loudly and clearly enough that a person willing to hear, that you can hear. The devil, don't let him accuse you. You walk in openly and honest and transparent before God. He wants to bless you with that confidence and that joy. And he says, it's by faith. It's by faith. Whatever battle you fought, you can commit it to him. Whatever responsibility you have, you're in nothing by yourself. He says, I'm going to be with you every way, motivating you and empowering you to do whatever I call you to do. So you can do it by faith. And even as you partake, if you know that you have received that gift of righteousness, you partake with great joy, thanking him for that. You could never have given that gift to yourself. And there is that hope. The sufferings of this present world aren't worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. God wants to assure us of that hope. In fact, the closing thing I would say to you in regard, it relates to that hope. And this is my prayer to you, that Paul's prayer for the Romans in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's close in prayer. Father, would that be ours? We ask, united in faith, for you to rebuke the accuser of the brethren. And we ask you enable us to partake of this table in a worthy manner, and we pray that we would make any adjustment that we need to make, that we could know that confidence before you, dear God, that we could even answer a condemning heart, and Lord, we could have that full joy in you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.